The Messiah comes. Our Lord Jesus, our Messiah, comes to win by losing, to give life by dying, to conquer by loving, and to reign by identifying himself with the powerless, with the suffering, with the poor. The Messiah, our Lord Jesus, comes to convert and not to control. This Passion Sunday, this Palm Sunday, begins the holiest time of the year for us Christians, for us Catholics. This begins what we call Holy Week. We've been preparing for this through these days of Lent, by prayer, by sacrifice, by almsgiving, by fasting. And now we come to this this week where we, in a sense, try to walk with Jesus as he walks through his last days on earth. And especially today, we walk through his suffering, his passion, and his death. I was listening to one of the talks at this virtual conference that's going on this weekend. I don't know if y'all have had a chance to sign on to the internet and to participate in this virtual conference that's being sponsored, among other organizations, that's being sponsored by the Diocese of Memphis. Our Bishop, Bishop David Talley, gave a wonderful keynote address. I would encourage you, if you haven't done it yet, to go and check it out. You can find it on the Catholic Diocese of Memphis' website, on the St. Mary's Facebook page. I was listening to a talk by Matt Frad, I think is his name. He was talking about ways that St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that we can deal with sorrow. You know, this time that we're going through, this pandemic caused by this coronavirus, is caused a time of great sorrow, of great sadness. It's of great difficulty and challenge. Jesus, when he's going to face the cross, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He takes three of his closest friends, closest disciples. He takes with him Peter and James and John, those who had been with him in those key moments of his life and in his ministry. And it says in the scriptures we heard today that his soul was sorrowful even unto death. So sad was he, because he knew the depths of the darkness and sin that he was going to confront in those around him, in those he loved, but in those people that he came to proclaim salvation to. And he knew all the sin of the world was going to be laid upon him. My sin, your sin, all the sin of the world. And his soul was sorrowful unto death. We heard last Sunday, as Jesus goes to Mary and Martha, that the great sorrow that he had there, he was so sorrowful that he wept. So today, as I listened to this talk by Matt Frad, I was really struck by just many things in his talk. I would encourage you to listen to what he had to say. One of the things he said is that St. Thomas Aquinas and his teachings on how to deal with sorrow is that sorrow is lightened when it is shared with those who love us. Jesus was hoping to share his sorrows with those three disciples, and they let him down. In this time of sorrow and sadness and difficulty, we need each other. And that's really difficult because we've been asked to isolate ourselves. But there are all kinds of means that we can reach out to one another and to support each other in our sorrow and in our difficulty. So I really encourage everyone, pick up the phone, make a phone call, send a text, send an email, walk over to your neighbor's house, knock on the door, and don't go in, stand out in the yard and see how they're doing. This sorrow that has afflicted the world is something that we all share. And our sorrow and our burden is lifted by sharing it together. Another thing that he said is a way to combat sorrow is to contemplate divine truth and divine beauty. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that when we're mired in difficulty and sorrow and fear, that to contemplate divine truth and divine beauty helps lift our minds out of the muck and the mire. And so during these days of Holy Week, what I really encourage you to do is to look over the readings that we have for Mass each day. To spend time in the Scriptures reading over those passion narratives, which are really the heart of every gospel. Find a time to do some spiritual reading. Go to that form.org that is available to everyone and find an uplifting movie to watch. A good documentary or something. There's all kinds of resources that are available to us to read and pray about and study and reflect on divine truth. You know, this day, I saw something the other day that was encouraging everyone to put palms on your front door. It's a sign to mark our doors in a way as a sign to the world that there are believers who live here. A sign to each other that we're in this together, that we're sharing this difficulty and this sorrow. You know, these palms are something that were for Israel. They were a sign of their identity as a people. You know, I always wondered why we use palms on Palm Sunday. And I'd been a priest for a few years before I discovered the truth of why we do this. See, there was a great victory that took place when Israel had been ruled by the Greeks for a period of time. You can read about it in the book of Maccabees. There was a general named Judas Maccabees that rose up in 165 BC and defeated the Greeks. The Greeks had defiled the temple. They had even sacrificed a pig on the altar. They had used the most sacred space of the Jews as a storage area for their loot and had completely desecrated it. The Feast of Hanukkah celebrates this victory that Israel won, where they reclaimed the temple. And the first thing that they did after their victory was to go to the temple and to cleanse it and to rededicate it in this celebration that we know now as Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is kind of like, for us, like it's like Memorial Day or Veterans Day. It's a celebration of a military victory. Do you know what they called Judas Maccabees? They called him the Lamb of God. Now, to many of us, I think we would think they should call him the Lion of God, but he was called the Lamb of God. Why is that? It's because for Israel, the most powerful animal there was a lamb, because the lamb was the one, was the only animal that could take away sins. The lambs were sacrificed for Passover as an offering for sin and a protection against evil. The lamb's blood was protection against evil. Well, when they dedicated the temple on that first Hanukkah, what they did is they took palm branches and they processed around the altar there. See, on the Feast of Sukkoth, which was a fall festival that they would celebrate, as part of the ceremony, part of that ceremony was to take palm branches and to process around the altar 7 times. But because the temple had been occupied and desecrated, they were not able to celebrate Sukkoth. And so that same day when they celebrated Hanukkah, they celebrated Sukkoth at the same time. And so this memory of walking around with these palm branches was a memory of victory over evil and domination and a rededication to God. And so the palms became almost like the national flag for Israel. And so when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, they took those palm branches, waving them under the noses of the Romans, and threw them along the path of Jesus. They were saying, this is our symbol of victory. This is the one who's going to bring us freedom and victory. He's going to conquer sin and death and conquer evil for us. So that is why we, every year on this Palm Sunday, pick up these palms. And this year you're encouraged to place them on your doors. They're a symbol for us. And the truth about these palms is that they remind us that Jesus is our King. Yo, they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna ultimately means, the Hebrew word there means save us. Save us, O Most High One. Save us, O Son of David. Save us, Jesus Christ. And so we cry out with faith. We cry out with trust. We cry out in the midst of our sorrow. Hosanna. Save us, Jesus Christ. King of the church, King of the world, King of the universe, King of our hearts.